Last week we began this legacy conversation by talking about Adam's legacy of sin and death. But we also recognized that Jesus our Christ is part of Adam's legacy too, for he was human as we are. For as in Adam die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So we began by looking at Adam's legacy, a difficult place to start. Today, we move to Abraham. And I have to confess to you that when we assembled this series and this schedule, I did not realize that we would be looking at Abraham on the same weekend that we commemorate the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. When asked about what Dr. King's legacy is, most folks respond with some words from his great speech, "I Have a Dream." The Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. in August of 1963. Here are some of the things that he said. "Even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together." As we observe this weekend the legacy of Dr. King, we also prepare to inaugurate on Tuesday the first person of color ever to serve as president of our nation. That event on Tuesday is in significant measure an outgrowth of the dream that Martin Luther King expressed more than 45 years ago. And I cannot mention that without inviting you to join me in admitting that as a white person, I cannot fully comprehend the enormity of these events for persons of color who have been the victims of slavery and brutality and discrimination and hatred through so many generations. The dream is still unfolding, but I need to point out to you that the dream that is unfolding is not only the dream of a nation inaugurating a new president. It's not only the dream of a man who talked about having a dream 45 years ago. It's not only the dream of the United States and an Obama administration, not only the dream of Martin Luther King, but King himself referred in his speech to the dream of the prophet Isaiah, which in unfolding yielded his dream. And Isaiah's dream, thousands of years before an American nation and Martin Luther King, Isaiah's dream was an expression of Abraham's dream that had come to be thousands of years before Isaiah. And Abraham's dream was nothing less than the expression of God's dream for this world and for the whole creation, expressed at the time of creation. So you see, the dream that may be unfolding here and now is the expression of a dream that goes all the way back to the beginning, the dream is still unfolding, and the dream that you and I focus on, the dream that Martin Luther King focused on, the dream that Isaiah is God's dream. God's dream is still unfolding in your life and in mine, and we pray that it is God's dream that is unfolding in the events of our nation and our world today. Well, I said that I didn't realize that we would look at Abraham on this particular weekend, but it's significant that we do so because Abraham's legacy is that he had a dream. And he was willing to pursue that dream through the unknown, through risk and danger, for as long as it took. Abraham's legacy is the dream that Abraham had. The dream that, well, we'll talk about it. What Abraham was told was, go from your land and from your birthplace to a land that I will show you. At that time, Abram was 75 years old, a successful man, well-established and respected, with a wife and many kinspeople and much wealth. And yet, according to Genesis, he was asked to turn his back on his affluence and his influence and to plunge into what was essentially an unexplored, unknown wilderness at the time. And so what God called him to do, Abraham took into himself, and God's dream became, in some measure, Abram's dream. And this was Abraham's genius. This is what made him different from so many others at his time. He was able and willing to align his dream with God's dream. And in fact, I suppose it's fair to say Abram was willing to adopt God's dream into himself and make it his own. When God's great dream of a people selected and set apart to be a light to the nations, a people closely related to God who could speak of God's word and God's ways, a people who could represent the joy and the holiness of life which God intends. When that dream was made known to Abraham, and that God had a remarkable part in the fulfilling of this dream for Abraham to play, it sparked something in Abraham so that God's dream became Abraham's dream. God's objectives became Abraham's objectives. God's hopes became Abraham's hopes. So he gathered his family together, his herds, his wealth, and he began his migration. And it was not an ordinary expedition of a few hundred miles. Although Abraham could not have grasped it at first, Abraham began from Haran that day, an epic journey that has been honored by every generation since. We who are people of faith have all walked in Abraham's footsteps, and we all claim the dream that was Abraham's dream, the very dream that God planted in Abraham, that we are a people selected and set apart to be a light to the nations, a people closely related to God who can speak God's word, speak of God's ways, a people who can represent the joy and the holiness of life which God intends. Yes, Abraham left his home in response to the call of God, but there was so much more to it than that. That call of God ignited a dream within him. He felt a nudge which told him it was important to see beyond the horizon, important to break a new trail. It had been given to Abraham to dream a great dream, just as God had done the same. And he didn't have to do it. He was a mature and successful man. Abraham was respected in his community. It would have been easier for him if he had settled for dreaming a smaller dream and settling for a cheaper victory. After all, hundreds of people, if not thousands around him, had already done so. Because pursuing a dream, even if it's God's dream, maybe especially if it's God's dream, pursuing your dream is not without risk, not without danger, not without sacrifice. Abraham's legacy didn't come about because he took the easy way. Abraham risked everything to follow the call of God, to live into God's dream. He accepted the struggle that it was to become the highest and the best that he knew. And it is still out of struggle, out of striving, out of wrestling with hard problems that God shapes modern people and brings out what God needs in us. Do you remember Helen Keller? Helen Keller, the girl who was born and was lived her life deaf and blind. She made a speech. It was a quiet speech to the student body of a small college once. And in her speech, she said this: "Most people measure their happiness in terms of physical pleasure and possessions. But if happiness is so measured, then I, who cannot hear or see, have every reason to sit in a corner with folded hands and weep. But I have learned that the struggle of life is one of our greatest blessings. It makes us patient and sensitive and godlike. It teaches us that though the world is full of suffering, it is also full of overcoming it." Humanity, we men and women are not made to be like a fat caterpillar munching on a cabbage leaf of ease. People are made to risk the conflict and to wrestle with the hard problems and in the struggle to dream dreams and to make something of ourselves. The story is told of Sir Francis Drake's sailors. They were home on leave at one point from their work in the Navy, and they were sitting on a rocky coastline near the harbor where their ship was docked. And the young people of the town had come by, and they were listening to these sailors spinning yarns about the adventure of the sea. And as the old sailors talked, they didn't tell the young people about the balmy seas and the pleasant climates and the beautiful places. They told them about the thrill of the high waves and the stout winds and the terror of the storms. And they talked about the dangers and the risks on the mighty seas of the globe. And interestingly, when they got finished with their stories, the country boys who were sitting there listening to them, they wanted to participate in that adventure so much that they ran away from home to join the Navy. Maybe there are some of you here who've done something similar. When you hear about the danger and the adventure, you run away from home to experience it. That's the power of a dream. Winston Churchill knew about the power of a dream. In the midst of the Second World War, you've heard many of his famous words. But in the middle of the war, when everybody was afraid and the future of England was uncertain, he rallied the people around him by saying this: "When I look back on the perils which have already been overcome, when I look back upon the great mountain waves through which our ship has been driven, when I remember what has gone right, I am encouraged to feel that we need not be afraid. The tempest will be overcome. Let it roar, let it rage. We shall come through. The troubles, the problems need not flatten us. The risks can be rocks on which we climb." Abraham's life was not easy. It wasn't easy for him to leave his home and all that he had known, his affluence and his influence behind him. But he had a dream. He saw a purpose in his difficulties and in the conflicts and in moving ahead. He saw a purpose in it. He had a dream. The purpose of our faith in God, our faith in Christ, is not to keep us happy. The purpose of our faith is not to make us wealthy or to soothe our feelings or to smooth our ruffled feathers, though occasionally it may do those things. The purpose of our faith is to keep us steady in the storms and to help us make something of ourselves, to give us enough of a challenge, to face us with enough risk that we will have the opportunity to grow into the stature of the sons and daughters of God. And so God's dream expressed through the ages, from Adam to Abram to Isaiah to Martin Luther King, God's great dream now comes to us. Will we embrace God's dream and let it become our own as Abraham did? That we might be God's people, selected and set apart to be a light to the nations, a people closely related to God who speak God's word and God's ways, a people who represent the joy and the holiness of life which God intends? Or will we be satisfied with our own wealth and our own comfort? Will we accept the dangers and the sacrifices and the risks of letting God's dream become our own? Or will we settle for a life built around the meeting of our own needs and the feeding of our own wants? If Christianity survives this generation and this time, if faith continues to grow, it will be because there are people who care enough and are bold enough to strike their tents and move out, to push out into the world of thought and life. People who will honor the past, but will strive to build the future. Such people will plant their feet in places like this, in places where God calls them and sends them, and they will create around themselves Christian community that meets their own needs, but also the needs of others. If God's dream continues to unfold and survives in our time, there will be lots of women and men like Abraham who will commit themselves to a faith of intellectual and spiritual daring for the glory of God and for the common good of all people. I pray that you and I will be among those people who dare to dream God's dream and then leave that dream behind us, vital and alive, as a legacy for those who follow us. Amen.